This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Just wanted to check on everyone who's been affected by the water cuts. How are you doing and how are you dealing with it?
We're asking because, of course, the Klang Valley has been struck, as we know. Not everybody, but really a large amount of areas. Yeah. Looking through the list to find out if you're going to be affected is quite a... quite a nerve-wracking experience, right? Because you're waiting for your neighbourhood to come up. And that has also spawned off a lot of people stockpiling water, hoarding water, buying water. So we just wanted to know, firstly, is the water back yet at your house? How have you been coping with all of it? How has it disrupted your life, if at all?
Yeah. So you can let us know at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Have you been affected by the water cuts?
Okay, this is going to sound very boasty, but I haven't, because as you know, our office is unaffected, thankfully. Yep. And also, this time round, my neighbourhood has escaped unscathed, so I've been fortunate. But in the past, I've definitely experienced water cuts of, you know, a day, 2 days, and it really makes you realise that you take running water for granted.
Yeah, it's the same case for me. I am not affected this round, but in the past few years, I have been several times. And I just remember how harrowing it is. And then you just see at home the amount of bottles you fill up, the amount of baldies you use to just to keep water. And I think at some point, I think to just cope, I went to the gym to shower.
Yes, I think a lot of people would have done the same thing. But in this situation, water supply would appear to have returned to a lot of areas already because repairs at the Sungai Selangor Phase 2 water treatment plant were completed as of 11 last night, which means there's been plenty of time for the water to return. But I think it's probably going to happen at different periods for different people.
Yeah, and I think, and as we heard on the news earlier, it was because of water pressure, and that depends on where you live as well. And you can let us know how you've been dealing with the water cuts at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio.
Yeah, share your life hacks. You know, how have you been making do? We definitely want to know.
And moving on to our next story, you know, we want to know which cartoon character best represents Malaysia, or what emblem, what figure. And we're asking this because there's an exhibition going on at the National Art Gallery that has ruffled some feathers, namely an exhibit of Doraemon, a robot cat with a magic pouch.
Very famous one. I think everybody knows the theme song. I'm not going to sing it because, you know, but everyone knows it.
So this event is held in conjunction with Visit Malaysia Year 2020.
So this exhibition hasn't exactly gone down well with local animators like the creators of Upin and Ipin, as well as the Facebook fan page of LUT. For what it's worth, Tourism, Arts and Culture Minister Datuk Muhammad Ketapi basically said that local animated characters would have been his first pick, but that in the case of the chairman of the National Art Gallery, I think the idea here was that this would raise our profile. You know, not necessarily that Doraemon represents Malaysia as such, but it would raise our profile in connection with Japan, in connection with an iconic character. But I mean, Doraemon for Visit Malaysia is a bit strange.
Yeah, the hope was that Doraemon would eventually bring in tourists to our country to see the exhibition, which in and of itself isn't a bad idea. But to rely solely on that character when we have so many other famous ones here locally that we could develop to get to that level as well, you know, the likes of LUT, the likes of more recent ones, which include the likes of Upin and Ipin. So it's just curious why this would come out as a suggestion as an idea to maybe use Doraemon instead.
Doraemon is very popular here. So I'm not sure that the connection should have been made that this would... I don't think the connection should have been made to Visit Malaysia. That seems to be the main issue here, aside from the fact that perhaps we're not giving enough shine to our local cartoon characters, our local animated characters. Why are we so under the thrall of Doraemon? Even with that said, Doraemon has been hugely influential to a lot of people here. Yeah. I basically know how to speak Bahasa pretty much by reading Doraemon. You know, before that, my Bahasa was really awful. And then I started reading the comics and they improved drastically. And I have a... And that's my connection to Doraemon. But I think for a lot of people, it's just an integral part of the childhood.
Yeah, I just wonder, when we talk about cartoon characters, do we always necessarily tie them in with the country they're from? In the case of Doraemon, we do, because its context is so heavily in Japan.
Fujio and Fujiko.
Yeah. Yeah. And, but for the likes of, say, Snoopy and Tintin, we don't necessarily think of them as associated, in Tintin's case, with Belgium. So maybe, though, with Upi and Ipin, because the context there is very heavily Malaysian, it talks about a life being in the kampung. So if we do manage to tie in the two, along with the idea of Visit Malaysia 2020, it could work out very well.
It would have worked better. It would just be a sweeter tie. It would make more sense. You look at one, you look at the other, and you're like, yeah, these two are meant to go together. With Doraemon, it's like, okay, interesting exhibit. Mm. And then you look at the Visit Malaysia 2020 banner on top, and it just feels a bit odd. And that's the dissonance that we're trying to address, I guess.
Yeah. So after this, we'll be speaking with Dr. Anasuya Jagatesan, Program Director of Psychology at Taylor's University, about what makes cartoon characters iconic. In the meantime, though, you can let us know what makes a cartoon character iconic. You can also tell us how you've been dealing with the water cuts.
Some messages are coming in already.
Yeah, so we'll get to them in a bit. But the numbers are 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bole Fikir Mandalam, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
It's Lynn and Kelvin on the Evening Edition. We're talking about the Klang Valley water cuts. If you are dealing with it, how are you coping? We have some messages here about how some people are basically doing with the massive cuts that we've seen over the past 2 days.
Yes, and also whether or not they were affected at all. So Lepanda says, my house wasn't affected this time round, but Puchong was affected at least twice in the past few years. Shortly after the first time, we renovated, changed out our water tank. So my water tank can now have reserves for at least 3 days if not used too excessively. And then we have Wei Zheng Huang, who says, although my area has water cuts, my condo has a big water tank, so I'm not affected for now. Meanwhile, Shamim says, my housing area wasn't affected, but I like to have it every week, so we learn how to save water. It's still tiring to carry all the buckets, but it is good exercise.
Yeah, I think when we had
it is a good exercise.
When we had the Minister of Water, Xavier Jayakumar, here, he was talking extensively about how Malaysians tend to take water for granted, and whenever we have water cuts or water rationing, we are reminded actually that water really is a privilege, and that sometimes we take for granted.
We constantly take it for granted, don't we? Because it's just there.
It's
just
so cheap.
It is. But it's true that water rations does cause, you know, this change of frame or change of mindset. But it is a high price to pay. Mm. Yeah, and it's not necessarily one that I think anybody would want to pay. Harida says, no water in my house, so no cooking in the house. Keep those messages coming. You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Is the water back at your house yet? How have you been coping over the last couple of days? Since the water is back, we thought it would be a safe space for people to talk about how they've been feeling.
Now, we were also talking about cartoon characters. Which one do you think best represents Malaysia? Which cartoon character should be the face of tourism for a country? Before we get to that, we have on the line Dr. Anasuya Jagatevi Jagatesan, Program Director of Psychology at Taylor's University. Dr. Anasuya, thanks so much for joining us on the show. What would you say makes a cartoon character iconic?
What do I think makes a cartoon iconic? Memorability. That it appeals to individuals on, you know, whatever level. Either it appeals to the creativity, it appeals to drama, it appeals to that time period, it appeals to the imagination. So if you look at you know, cartoons that have lasted and have, you know, that have done well, I mean, it appeals to the sense of the child. Some of them, like, you know, like Mickey Mouse, Doraemon, appeals to the child inside us. Whereas when you look at, you know, Spider-Man, those are the more adventure side of who we are. And nowadays you've got cartoons and comics that, you know, that are about sports, that are about different, you know, different genres. So ultimately it comes down to it has a sense of a timeless appeal. It connects with people on a human level, on an individual level, and we feel nice when we watch it.
And so what do you think are the differences between our local cartoons and then international versions or international shows?
Okay, to be fair, the local cartoons nowadays, I mean, if you talk about who would we know, Lat, Upin and Pinpin. Keys World, but Keys World is not exactly a kid's cartoon. And, you know, the appeal is unfortunately not universal. It is to a specific demographic of Malaysia. And you're not making cartoons that appeal to the wider audience. You're making cartoons that appeal to one specific demographic of a relatively small country when you compare with other things. Whereas when you look at something like Doraemon has appeal in Malaysia, it's got appeal in America, it's got appeal in Japan. And to be really honest, when I watched Doraemon as a kid, I didn't realize it was not Malaysian. I didn't realize it came from Japan. I know, because it was done in Malay, and I honestly thought it was Malaysian. I only realized that it was Japanese quite later in life. So the appeal was not to a race or to a people. The appeal was to the heart. You know, we are missing the point of the cartoon.
So arguably, only Lat has had some reach outside of Malaysia. How do we get our local cartoons like Upin and Ipin to reach an international stature similar to that of Hello Kitty and Doraemon?
Okay, I mean, I think the one that actually does appeal on a wider scale, although, you know, it's very Malaysian. Lat actually does appeal outside of Malaysia, because while he does Malaysian topics, the way he does it is, you know, I laugh at myself and I bring in other races in a very naturalistic manner. You can remember and relate to everything that is being experienced in, you know, in a Lat comic, as long as you're born in Malaysia, because it has that appeal, you know, where it's real. The stories, you know, in that kind of comic. But when you're talking about Spider-Man, Upin and Pimpin, I mean, these are not cartoons which have that similar kind of Lat appeal. So these are cartoons where you're trying to appeal to a wider audience. Okay, so I can't say I'm an expert in the area of why some things appeal and why some things don't appeal, but I can honestly say, as somebody who does collect comics, and I have a pretty big collection of Spider-Man and Batman comics and all that, you know, at the end of the day, they have that sense of adventure, they have a sense of newness, they do cutting edge for, you know, the Spider-Man genre, and they're not afraid of challenging status quo. They, you know, they, when they do stuff, you know, it's out there. Whereas in Malaysia, when if you do stuff out there, we have to worry about how people react. As long as we're giving boxes where our artists are supposed to fit into that box, then we are kind of, you know, cutting our own market. You know, we are not making it appealing to other markets.
So do we need more buy-in to these local cartoons before, you know, we try and make it super successful globally?
Okay, let me ask you. Okay, let's be, you know, pretty frank and honest about the situation of cartoons in Malaysia. I've bought Japanese manga cartoons translated into Malay because I like the topic of that cartoon. So for me, I'm very fluent in Malay, I'm fluent in English. And like certain comics, they were not being translated into English, but they were being translated into Malay. And I actually bought those comics in Malay and read them in Malay because the quality of the writing and the quality of the art was very high. I can honestly say, in the local field, the quality did not come to that level. I mean, as somebody who reads cartoons and collects cartoons and, you know, watches comics and I watch animation, if you want to appeal to me as a viewer, then you must have quality in your product. And that product, if I'm as an adult consumer, and I, by the way, I did collect comics as an adult. I do collect comics as an adult because that's when I had the money to buy it. And certain comics are appealing to the adult market, not just the children market. In order for it to appeal to me, it must have a certain quality. It must have a certain level of standard of production of quality. And I will honestly tell you that the local cartoon scene and comic scene does not hit that level of quality. You know, I mean, I do think that as consumers of comics, we are, and cartoons, our levels of as a consumer is international level. if you are going to produce comics and cartoons that are of a level of not up to that international standard, why should international consumers look at local publications over international publications? It is not like Malaysia is not capable of producing that level of quality. So unless, you know, I think we are, but, you know, we cut costs, we do things, we rush it. Okay, la, then what to say? So if you're asking a Malaysian consumer to consume products, it has to be of a standard. If it's not of a standard, you're not going to get consumers buying in.
Should existing cartoon characters be used to promote a country's tourism at all?
I actually would like to see, you know, the Malaysian Tigers and money from that going to the Malaysian Tigers a little bit. If you're going to promote something, there are a lot of things in Malaysia that we need conserving and a lot of things that can be cartoonized and done in a way that, you know, that was really good. There was a cartoon last time that was done in Sarawak where they did the, you know, the tiger was one of the Sabah Sarawak hero, and that was done very well. I liked it a lot, but unfortunately it had no backing, it had no financing, so it didn't really come through. So that's another thing. The quality of the cartoons are not up to standard because they don't have backing. And, you know, in order to produce quality cartoons, you have to have backing. So if you're going to ask me whether Malaysia should support the local comics, I say, yeah, we should. I mean, Doraemon doesn't need us to promote Doraemon. Malaysian cartoons do need us to promote Malaysian cartoons. But the cartoon has to have quality behind it. It has to be something that is appealing to, you know, to a global market. And a global market, unfortunately, is not a Malay market. If you want to have foreigners come in, then they are going to be more taken by Malaysian flora, Malaysian fauna. If you're going to go and use tigers, you're going to go and use the hornbills. I mean, visually, that would be more appealing in a cartoon. You know, one of the reasons why Lat is so popular is because Lat was also in English. You know, and so the international market was open for that comic. Don't get me wrong, in the Malay-speaking market, Upin and Pipin is very, very, very well known. But if you're going to use it as a tourism, then it's only going to be to Malaysia and Indonesia, lah, which is a huge market. There's 1 billion. Now Indonesia is 1 billion people, so that's a huge market in itself. It can be done. There's nothing stopping it if that is the market that we want. But if we want an international market, then it has to be in English. To tell you the truth, I'd rather not see Upin and Pimpin lose the Malay quality in it. But that's why it becomes a very complicated question, because it's marketing, it's psychology, it's promotion, and it's what are we promoting about Malaysia. And I don't want to lose Malay, but at the same time, you know, I know that if I can't speak the language, I don't read, you know, I don't buy original Japanese cartoons because I don't understand the language. So I bought all these, you know, some of the Japanese comics in Malay because I understand the language. But you can't expect Americans to like Upin and Pipin unless they're going to translate it in English, lah. Which, again, I don't think is a good idea. I don't think translating Upin and Pipin into English is going to translate very well. But it might, I don't know. I mean, that might be something they want to think about. But that could be a way to promote it.
Dr. Anasuya, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts with us. That was Dr. Anasuya Jagatevi Jagadesan, Program Director of Psychology at Taylor's University. And we're asking you, you know, should we be more particular about what gets tied to Visit Malaysia 2020? In the earlier example, we kind of accidentally tied Doraemon with Visit Malaysia 2020.
Well, I don't know if it was accidental, but certainly now that it's been done, I'm not sure anybody is particularly happy that it's been done.
Yeah.
But it did seem to be a concert that, hey, look, we have a Doraemon exhibition, come visit us, which is a strange link. So I guess if we were going to put the sticker or the banner of Visit Malaysia 2020 on something, what would you rather it be? You know, what would you prefer to see? So Law says, regarding cartoonists, Lat is the only one who was able to capture Malaysia the best. However, I doubt millennials will find it relevant. I think it's still relevant.
I think it's still relevant too, though. Perhaps as time goes by, maybe its popularity has dimmed a bit, but overall, you still see a generous crowd even when towards its related events. We have other messages, I believe, but you can also keep them coming in at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018 789 8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Rajesh says the Anak Anak Siddiq comic series were of real good quality. In my opinion, it was rich in both artwork and story. Unfortunately, it didn't get the popularity that it deserved. And then another message here that's come through from a nameless listener. They should have infused Lat and Doraemon together. Commissioned Datuk Lat to draw special sketches where he introduces Doraemon to our Malaysian culture. That would make it look like we're introducing Malaysia to the world.
I really like that idea.
Yes, and that is how it would work if you were actually trying to tie the two rather than having one disparate thing and saying, visit Malaysia.
Yeah.
Doraemon's just not ours.
No.
We might be fond of him, we might be fond of the comics, but that doesn't make him... you know, our character. Another message coming through pointing out the translation issue regarding Upin and Ipin. Sharizal saying, we have at least three Malaysian animations in Disney, several in Zumu and Baby TV. Hello, we have translated it into English. Your caller was not correct.
And I think maybe it has even been translated to several other languages, if I'm not mistaken. Upin and Ipin is very present in Indonesia and there's a huge following there. And we do have tourist attractions linking Upin and Ipin to certain sites. And
yes,
people
definitely
do come in to see these places. And, you know, you can keep those messages coming. More after this on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.